Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com. And that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long, so let's get into the show.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. Full of rage. Usually not usual. Not usual at... Hi. Not normal in front of a dork forest, but I'm full of rage. How's it going out there? The Supreme Court has destroyed Roe, so we all need to step up and fight back. The good news is our friends at Abortion Action Front have a plan. July 17th, they're hosting an activist training day called Operation Save Abortion. AAF is gathering experts from every area of the abortion justice movement and live streaming a series of conversations that break down the many ways that you can help protect reproductive rights. Real things that you can do. So helping patients with travel needs, lobbying politicians, getting into good trouble out in the streets are just a few of the opportunities these amazing panelists will break down. Specifically, and bonus, they'll connect you with the organizations in your area doing this work. So gather your friends for a watch party and commit to being a defender of abortion access. Operation Save Abortion, July 17th. For all info and to register, hit up OperationSaveAbortion.com. It's online. Everybody can do this. We can all do this. July 17th. Get out there. OperationSaveAbortion.com.
Hi, Jackie Cation in my garage, like I'd like to be. And let me just tell you that I just did a glorious show with stand-up comedian, actor, and national delight, Zach Noe Towers. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the Dork Forest.
I'm so excited to be here. I brought my canteen and my walking stick. And
if you want to be a ranger, you got to bring your ranger tools. So it's you got green mana so that you can. It's going to be great. Yeah. So Zach Noe Towers is a great stand-up comic. You guys look for it's Z-A-C-H, correct? For Zach?
Yes.
Z-A-C-H-N-O-E. T-O-W-E-R-S. It will be in the notes. And he has a podcast, which sounds very exciting. It's called Good Morning Sodomites. And and it's about the journey of how you first had sex, I think, or something. Or your
yeah,
sexual...
it's like your sexual journey from start to now. So whatever that looks like, it changes person to person. But
does
it
ever get super sad? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, here's the good news. Everybody lived. Right?
Yes.
When by the time the podcast begins, when you start recording, Zach, everyone has lived through whatever sexual trauma they have gone through, and then they've realized that it's just sex.
I never thought of it that way, but I should remind people that they're alive, that they made it out.
They made it out. I mean, I had a friend who used to tell her story of how she lost her virginity, and she was like, At the end of when I lost my virginity, all I could think was, wow, that's not that big of a deal. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And uh-huh. And then you're like, well, let's do it again. And maybe it'll be more fun next time. And then it'll be fun. And then it'll be less fun. And then it'll be just fine. And then it'll be fun. And then it'll be less fun. Or, you know, it'll just all the things.
Boring, exciting. Sometimes it's wetter than other times.
Right. Sometimes it's the fireworks, and other times you're like, that was actually really enjoyable. Thank you for having me. And
Thank you for having me. What a great, that's going to be my autobiography about my sex life. Thank you for having me.
Mine is Jerking Off to Memories.
Oh, do you sing that song about memories?
The cat song, the famous cat song.
The famous cat song, yes. And so, Zach Noe Towers, Good Morning Sodomites is the name of the podcast, stand-up comedy. Oh, yeah. It's ZachZoeTowers.com for like touring and all the things that anyone might need to know. And then Instagram and Twitter and all the places. And are you on TikTok?
I am. Are you on TikTok?
I am. I am. I'm busy clipping things like a mad person, like crazy.
Do you love it? I love TikTok.
I don't scroll. I don't ever watch anybody else's TikToks.
Jackie,
you're
missing out.
I don't listen to anybody else's podcasts either. It's very sad.
Well, that's fair. But it's like Dork Central on TikTok.
And super specific. You can get, like, if you love pickleball, you could just go, I wonder what it's like. And you could see absolutely everyone enjoying pickleball, like Darlene, who was on this program talking about pickleball. And I post stand-up. I post stand-up clips, and then I post clips from this show and my other podcast, Jackie and Laurie. And then I post occasional just weird, hotel art on the road.
Okay.
I'll post that.
I love that. I love that.
And, essentially, I post everything to everywhere. And the people on TikTok seem to be the only ones truly, like, I have 72,000 followers on TikTok.
And that's huge.
It's huge. I have 18,000 followers on Instagram, and you would think it would be a lot more. It would be like, it would be a bigger deal. But TikTok seems to enjoy a 30-second stand-up comedy. And in my case, a fourth of a joke. Because I'm chatty freaking Magoo. So
that's good.
Yeah,
you bait them with the clip, and then they come see the full version.
Come see the real shows. I got all kinds of, I'm in Minneapolis, I'm in San Francisco, I'm in Denver, I'm in all these places coming up. Please come and see me do stand-up comedy, everybody and their grandmother, and bring your grandmother.
TikTok will Zainab Johnson, she like had like a clip get like a million likes, and her shows sold out like the next weekend.
That's so wild. I wonder, I have a couple of million like videos that, but it doesn't seem to be happening yet. But any minute, I'm going to be an overnight success. As are you, Zach Noe Towers, because I really enjoy your stand up. Very funny, very smart,
you too.
Very silly, and that's my favorite. But your dorkdom, and let us allow you to speak to it, is The Scary Movie. And I said, do you know any summer scary movies? And you were like, oh my gosh, so many summer scary movies.
Well, I had this realization that like horror is like, so it holds hands with like young nudity, and like young nudity happens easiest in summer. So we've got bathing suits, we've got, you know, people stripping down, like it's just like more conducive to teens dying.
Why isn't there one called Young Nudity? That should totally be the name of a horror movie.
1,000%.
So what's your favorite young nudity horror movie? What do you think is done well?
So, it's not a summer one though. That's the only thing. Scream is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
What's your relationship to scary movies?
Oh, no, they scare me. I don't watch them. Some people, I can't do it. I don't even enjoy tension. I have a hard time. I have a hard time with drama.
Did you see Uncut Gems?
No.
You don't watch it, Jackie. You'd have a heart attack.
I had blood just coming out of my ears. Yeah. I may have told this story before, but my experience is literally I wanted someone to watch, My Favorite Year. Was it My Favorite Year? Or no. It was Pillow Talk. I wanted someone to watch The Incredibly, does not hold up, by the way. I still enjoy it. Rock Hudson, Doris Day movie, Pillow Talk, where it's just like a gaslighting, like sexual predator movie that I thoroughly enjoy from the 50s.
Yeah.
And I wanted a friend of mine to watch it in college. And she was like, if you watch The Omen, I will watch Pillow Talk. And I was like, okay. And she got me to watch The Omen first, and then she fell asleep during Pillow Talk.
No.
I know, it wasn't fair. There was no justice. No peace. No justice. I will march on that.
The only thing worse would have been flip-flop if you watched yours first and then went to bed. Like, she fell asleep while you're watching The Omen.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Get out of town.
Get out of town. It would have been terrifying. But some people find horror, and this is what I've learned in the Dork Forest with many episodes of horror movies, is that people find them kind of cathartic. Is that what you enjoy? What do you enjoy about them?
So, okay, so there are so many different subgenres in horror. And, like, I do not like, body horror. I don't like Saw. I don't want to see an excruciating, like, arm get pulled out of its socket. I don't want to see, like, I don't like the horror where it's, like, you actually feel, like, for them. I want to see, like, pop horror. Where it's, again, like, teen, it's, like, funny. It's, like, comedy horror. It's just, like, fun.
Okay. Okay. Like, that does sound more my speed, quite honestly.
Yeah.
What is a good example? Is that like Scream? Is Scream like that?
Scream is definitely, Scream has a lot of comedy in it, which I just, maybe it's because I also saw it when I was like 10 years old. So it just like imprinted as like, this is it. But Scream, I think, also has like a huge gay, horror movies in general have a gay following.
Okay.
And I think it's like an outsider thing, or like, you know, feeling kind of unsafe in your surroundings.
Okay.
But
And do you like the ones where they catch the bad guy at the end?
I like a franchise. I like it. Like, he's, okay. You think you caught him, but he's gone. The body's not there. The body's not at the bottom of the staircase.
He's back.
He's back.
That's what I have to say about Killmonger in Black Panther. There was no body. They threw him into the ocean. You can bring him back anytime.
That's a good eye.
People
see it and they're like, oh, gone.
Oh, no more Killmonger. No, that's terrible. And you don't want to kill Killmonger. You want to throw him into the ocean and have Namor find his body and bring him back to life. That's what I want. And then how he's a tool of Atlantis, because Atlantis hates the land dweller. Anyway.
Wait, is Atlantis really part of the lore
that? Marvel Universe, yeah. Yeah, there is.
Wait, is that Aquaman or no?
No, Aquaman is DC. And he also has Atlantis. Because Atlantis can be owned by all things.
Okay.
Because it's in mythology, right?
Sure. Wait, so wait. Atlantis, do I know any characters from Atlantis in Marvel?
It would be Namor. Who was in the original Defenders, I think. He fought World War II with Captain America.
Okay.
So, not in the movies, not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Sure.
Yet. That's right. And go to the long boxes, Marvel.
Did you see the most recent Marvel, Madness into the
Doctor
Mind
Strange.
Of Madness?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was Charlize Theron at the end of it?
Oh God. First of all, I love Charlize Theron. I haven't seen it in weeks, I'm afraid.
She was purple, I think. Does that ring a bell?
Right. Yeah. I have to tell you that she was Chloe, wasn't she? Yeah, Clea.
It was such a short moment. She's like, we got to get out of here.
Clea is Doctor Strange's estranged wife, who is also super magical.
Okay.
And she's like, she actually just became the Sorcerer Supreme in the comic books. So the fact that Charlize Theron is Clea is a goddamn delight to me. It's a delight.
That's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
I loved
good times.
The Mind of Madness. And that was horror. That was Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi, and he really, it was horror because he brought the zombie. He brought all the what ifs from TV. Because it could be all the different universes, so he could do all the things. I was surprised that they didn't put Miles Morales in there at all. But maybe because there was no deal with Sony yet. But I did want to see Spider-Ham. Who didn't want to see Spider-Ham?
Oh, my God, Spider-Ham.
Right, but it was Sam Raimi. Did he do Evil Dead?
Yes, he did. And this didn't make my list, but the remake of Evil Dead is incredible. It came out like probably like 10 years ago now, but it's Jane Levy, who was like a TV actress for the most part. She's the possessed one.
Okay.
And it's just, they do mainly practical effects, which I also love in horror. I don't like when, because CGI gets involved in horror, it takes me right out. But like, so many practical effects, and it's so gory, but it's like, again, campy gory. Okay. And I like, just love it. Yeah.
Do you like those old monster movies where like Tower of Blood or all of that kind of thing? I've had other people on about those.
I actually can't answer because I haven't dived into those.
Okay. Because there is a lot of great new stuff. I think all of these movies, I've never heard of the girls one.
Oh my God, The Final Girls.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let's start there.
Actually, Jackie, this might be one for you.
Okay.
Because it's heavy comedy leaning.
Oh, okay.
Thomas Middleditch is in it.
Okay.
What
year?
So
is it last 20?
This is probably like 4 years ago. Oh, yeah.
Newish. Okay.
Yep. So the concept of this is a girl's mom was like the do you know what a final girl is?
No.
Okay, it's like the girl who makes it to the end
of
the horror movies, the final girl. Yes.
Oh, so this feels meta then, the final girl.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. So this girl's mom was the final girl in like the Friday the 13th of this universe, right?
Okay.
But she dies. So this girl doesn't have a mom, but this movie always comes around every year and they have a big screening and like she goes and there's a fire in the theater and her friends go through the screen and enter the movie.
Oh my God. That actually sounds really cool. Cause it's like that Woody Allen movie. So sad that he's dead. Anyway, he's dead to me, but remember the Woody Allen movie where the guy jumps out of the movie?
I don't
offhand. I cannot remember the name of it. All of my brothers are huge fans of Woody Allen. I can't remember the name, but I did see it. But so they end up in that horror slasher movie?
Yes. And it's like, it's at the beginning of the movie. So they're like, oh my God, this is the movie. They're all doing their thing. And so she sees her mom, but her mom doesn't know her because it's the character.
Right.
And she like, she's trying to keep her mom alive. And then her and her mom are the two final girls. And
spoiler alert, except for the fact that who cares? I mean,
I'm sorry as soon as I said it.
Well, the thing is you have to know that it's plural. Mm-hmm, so I will make a note in the listening that these movies, because these are all pretty old, at least like that seems to be the newest one, isn't it?
Yeah, Midsommar might be newer.
Okay.
Midsommar. But honestly, I don't know where you stand on this. Like I know the no spoilers thing. Jeremy, that's a year tops. Like
tops.
If you haven't, I'm not gonna see Thor today and then tweet, I can't believe blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
No. But a year from now, like I'm talking willy nilly about whatever I want.
Yes. Yes. You are correct. I hard agree.
Okay.
Hard agree.
Okay. Good.
Especially some of the really old movies. You know, like Rosebud. It's the sled. I'm so sorry. It's.
I mean.
Yeah. This is a classic.
I haven't seen that one either, but I know what you're talking about.
Well, when I finally saw The Godfather, I finally got about 100 jokes. So I was like, and fair enough, there's no reason to save The Godfather for me.
Right.
Yeah, it's 1972. Okay.
Take the gun, leave the cannoli or something.
Yes.
Okay,
The horse in the bed, that was an SNL sketch.
The horse head, yeah.
Yeah, it's like any number of jokes that you're like, oh, I will always get this, you know? And then there was a Matthew Broderick that was just making fun of the whole movie itself that I think had the famous guy who played the Godfather. Names are arbitrary. He was that's it.
Jowly. Yeah.
Everyone's yelling at their non-existent iPods. So the final girls, who were the girls and who played the women?
Oh, okay. So do you remember, did you watch No, you didn't watch American Horror Story, did you?
I didn't.
Fuck, oh my God, this is such a long way to get here.
Yeah.
This Vera Farmiga's
okay.
either daughter or sister. Mm-hmm. I thought it was daughter, but I think it might be her sister. She's just much younger.
Okay.
But so a Formiga is in is the main girl, like the young girl.
Yep.
And then Malin Ackerman is the mom.
Okay.
And then like Adam Devine is in it as like a wacky character. Yeah. It's okay. If you have any, like, it's such silly horror, I think would be fine. I think you'd really enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it does sound actually more interesting than, because usually it's just, you know, let's go into the woods and then make terrible life choices.
I completely agree. I have one to tag on to this.
Yeah.
If we're maybe this will be scary movies Jackie could maybe enjoy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Let's give it a shot.
Have you heard of Happy Death Day?
No.
Okay. A sorority girl wakes up on her birthday and she has this like she's mean. She's like, she makes all these enemies throughout the day. And then after her birthday party, she gets murdered. But then she wakes up on her birthday again.
Groundhog Day.
So it's Groundhog Day, but with getting murdered. So she keeps getting murdered and she has to figure out who the killer is.
Oh, that actually is another one that is very interesting to me. When was that one made?
That one probably came out 7 years ago.
Okay.
If I had to guess.
These are very interesting. These are much more interesting than the regular. You know, I get Matt Weinhold on here and he's like, well, the ghost and Mrs. Chicken, you know, it's got Don Knotts. And
the ghost of Mrs. Chicken.
The ghost and Mrs. Chicken.
Oh, and Mrs. Chicken. Don't, sorry.
Yes. Not the ghost of Mrs. Chicken.
That'd
Wait, be
is that
weird.
A real movie?
Oh yeah. Don Knotts.
Oh no. I see. I thought you were being
Halloween.
Super funny.
Every Halloween I watch it. I can watch that, and I can watch the Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein, Abbott and Costello meet the werewolf, and the
Invisible Man.
Invisible Man. Invisible Man is actually pretty creepy, quite honestly. The Frankenstein one, not as much.
You know what's so funny? My mom raised me on Abbott and Costello VHS tapes.
Sure.
And like, I remember it being kind of like the Invisible Man was good. Like, not good, but I feel like it might hold up in some weird way.
Yeah. The Abbott and Costello movies weirdly hold up. A lot of things do not.
Uh-huh.
And Abbott and Costello holds up. Thin Man holds up, even though it's just obviously alcoholism. But you're just like, what are they doing?
Oh my God. Alcoholism was so chic back in the day.
Right. It was the best. They were like, it was the 30s. Some of these movies in the 30s, they're like, if there's a worldwide depression, you might want to have an adult beverage or 20.
It was cigarette after cigarette and then just like a hard alcohol at lunch.
The lunch booze. I know that's why everyone was thought Mad Men was so cool. They're like, it was the last decade when you could go to like those liquor lunches.
Martini lunches, yeah.
Yeah, because the 70s came and there was like, well, now we got the EPA. You can't just have a martini at lunch in the 70s. And now that we've decided to care about the environment. And I'm so sorry to bring up the environment. You guys, this is the Dork Forest. I'm talking to Zach Noe Towers. We've already talked about the Final Girls. Let's talk about I Know What You Did Last Summer. That's a summer one.
It is... so perfect.
Is it?
It's yes. Oh, but this is it's like a more scary or that's what it's going for. But I would say it's like a moderate scary movie. It's not overly gory. It's very like insinuated, like you don't see things like knives go into people or he has a hook, a fisherman's hook.
Okay.
And, you know, grabs and pulls them. And it's like, it's scary, but it's not like insanely scary.
Okay.
But Sarah Michelle Gellar, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Ryan Phillippe, Freddie Prinze Jr.
What? Holy. Yeah. Wow. That's a who's who of teen hot heartthrobs.
Oh, yes.
Those are definitely some young nudity. Is there young nudity?
You know, Jennifer Love Hewitt, her breasts are very there, you know.
Okay.
but
it's
and I
all
think
cleavage
maybe nipples.
And
yeah,
it's all cleavage and midriff.
Yes,
with the ladies,
yes,
and a lot of dudes
yes.
without shirts.
Wife beaters.
Okay.
Like, yep.
Sure.
Uh-huh. The skinny white.
Yeah.
I should not say that anymore. It's like so casual. Wife beaters.
You remember. It's coming back. Oh, I made us sad again. Okay. So, so I Know What You Did One Summer. So that, it's essentially they go to camp. Where do they go?
So, no. Oh, so you know nothing about it.
No, I've never. No.
Okay. It's a book. Can you believe it?
No. It originally was a book?
It was a book, yeah. It by Lois Duncan, I believe. And she also wrote, the movie was made with Helen Mirren called Teaching Mrs. Tingle.
Okay.
Do you remember? Okay.
Vaguely.
Katie Holmes, Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
They get a bad grade. They kidnap their teacher and they're threatening to kill her unless she changes their grade. I think that's the vague thing.
I love that.
But the book was called Killing Mr. Griffin. And then it was turned into Teaching Mrs. Tingle. But I Know What You Did Last Summer is a book. It started as a book. And it's kind of like 4th of July. It's a 4th of July scary movie.
Oh my gosh.
So they're like seniors in high school. Sarah Michelle Gellar wins Miss, like, it's a fisherman's town. So it's like Miss Clam Bake, you know, 99. And so she gets crowned. They go to the beach. They have like their little double date couples, kissy kissy. And then they're driving these windy roads by the ocean and they hit someone with their car. And it's like a fisherman in like whole gear. And they're like, If we tell the cops, this is like, I've been drinking, like this will ruin your life. Julie, you won't go to Harvard next year.
Oh my God.
Let's get rid of the body. So they take it to the water. And right before they push him in, he grabs Sarah Michelle Gellar's clam bake crown. And then like Ryan Phillippe punches him and they knock him into the water.
Oh, he's still alive.
Uh-huh. But so a year passes and they all start getting these notes. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh yeah.
And they're all home for summer. Their lives are all like falling apart because they've kept these like secrets and stuff. And then they have to like, they get picked off.
Oh, then they get picked off by the fisherman who has a hook.
Yep.
Because he's a fisherman. Was he dressed like the fish stick guy? Did he have like, I want
to wear. It was the Gordon fisherman.
It was a mixture of Gordon fisherman and Paddington Bear. And all of a sudden, and there he was. Okay, so that one sounds actually, yes.
You know who else is in it?
Who?
Anne Heche.
What?
So there's this other side story in it.
Yeah.
Where someone else also died the same night they hit that guy with their car. Okay, big spoiler alert coming.
Okay.
The guy who they hit with their car killed a guy who the previous summer had killed his daughter in a drunk driving accident. And it looked like a suicide, but it wasn't. The fisherman killed him and then literally got hit by this car.
Okay.
Anne Heche is the victim's sister. And like, I know that's like twisty, but it's like, it's a good twist in the, when you're watching it.
Okay. Now what you've inspired me to ask is the question I always ask when I think of it, which is B plots of movies like these, because these are movies essentially for children, right? They're essentially for like teenagers to sort of go, let's all go see this slasher movie. Let's all go see this crazy movie. And, but there's usually a weird political message buried deep in. I get them in shitty rom-coms, right? And whether it's right wing or left wing, I don't know if you ever saw Blue Crush. That's my famous one.
The summer one?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
The surfing one. So there's the best three examples for me are Footloose, Dirty Dancing, and Blue Crush. Footloose, censorship is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Dirty Dancing, keep abortion legal.
Yes.
Blue Crush, true happiness is found through corporate sponsorship. And that I'm not even kidding. If you watch Blue Crush with that in mind, you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
And I'm wondering if you could think of anything in Final Girls. Is there a B plot? Is there another message about, because there's probably a family message. That's the main one, you know, family's important.
They do say like at drugs like Adderall and like drinking and premarital sex leads to death.
Oh, really?
But that's kind of like, that's a lot of horror movies. Because you know, one of the rules of horror movies is once you lose your virginity, you're up for grabs by the killer.
No.
Yes. Yes. The final girl is often like virginal. She like pushes, no, I'm not ready. You know, and she lives.
Oh, interesting.
But the slutty girl who spreads her legs.
You know what she doesn't have? Her hymen. Her hymen is protecting her. And once you get that penetrated, clearly knives can get up there.
Yeah.
And so, wow. And how about, I know what you did last summer. What is there? Because that B plot with Anne Heche.
Yes.
You're like, it's drunk driving, clearly.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Well, and they're drunk when they hit the guy, too.
So there's this whole drunk driving message.
Drunk drive. It was funded by Mothers Against Drunk Drivers,
exactly,
probably.
Right? Right? That's so interesting. How about...
You know what someone...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Someone told me recently that they think the Minions are fascists.
Oh, really? I never saw that movie either.
Oh, my God. You got to treat yourself to the Minions.
I know. Well, you know, and I watch a lot of animated... You know, I loved Coco. I enjoyed both Frozen movies a little much, even though the message of the first Frozen movie was if your children are special, treat them that they should never, ever use that specialness and definitely lock them away.
I think Buzz Lightyear had some like pro-choice messaging in it.
The new Lightyear one?
Yeah.
Chris Evans. There was a gay kiss. There was two ladies who were
there was a
peck and the world went mad.
A peck. Like if they hadn't been of different ethnicities, it could have been sisters just like, you know,
yeah.
Love you.
Like, right. It's oftentimes families will kiss each other on the lips and it'll just be a peck like that.
Yeah.
Not my family. Always a cheek. Always a cheek business. It was like, "Hey, good night." There you go. A little bit on the cheek. But Andy and his mom will do it sort of the tiniest peck on the lips.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah. So the fact that the Lightyear shocking lesbian makeout scene is rivaled by parents and children all over the world.
Didn't China not allow it to be played?
Oh, possibly. I think there were movie theaters who put like there's a homosexual interaction. Yes. There's people who are living together.
God forbid.
God forbid. Andy's moms. Andy has two mommies, my husband. And and they were together. And his stepmom just passed away like 4 years ago. But they were together for 42 years.
Stop.
I know. And they were the first year that they were together. Fran had two kids and Andy's mom, of course, had him. And they all five of them lived together. And after a year of them all living together, Fran and Chris bring all the kids who Andy was 13. His stepbrother was 15. His stepsister was 16. I mean, like they were in their early teens, right?
Yeah.
And that Fran and Chris bring them into the living room to tell them that they're lesbians. Guess what? Spoiler alert. They already knew. And they had one room, one bed, and that's where the bathroom was. So everybody had to constantly, they tell them, and Andy was like, we all just looked at each other and go, yeah, we're familiar with
Can
what's
we go?
Happening. Can we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to go sulk like teenagers. We'll be right back.
That is so wild that he had lesbian
I know
moms.
They got in on the ground floor of lesbianism back in 77 78 yeah,
the pioneers of
right
homosexuality.
It was, and it's funny, Darlene, who fan of the pickleball, she gave me this it was a lesbian love story, I think set in the 1850s or 60s, and one of the great things about it was it didn't end with them both dying. They lived happily ever after in the 50s and 60s. Because you know how you do, it turns out. You know that all the stories about homosexuality forever, the B-plot of that is don't do it.
Yeah.
You know? You got to kill yourselves. You got to be killed. Yep.
Do not do it. Either your family will leave you, your lover will die instantly, or you'll watch each other, you know, be killed.
Right. And madness ensues, right? There's always some sort of insanity. But I did watch, I own actually, because it fascinated me when it came out, was The Celluloid Closet, that documentary about the history of homosexuality in film and how it was depicted. Yeah, it's a great documentary.
Is it streaming?
Probably. I have it on an old-timey DVD.
Hell so, yeah.
There you go. But yeah, you should. I'm sure it's streaming and probably on Netflix.
You know what's so funny is I still have DVDs like in a big CD case. Mm-hmm. Haven't had a DVD player in 5 years.
Do you have a PS4?
No.
Do you have a Wii?
No, I don't play games.
Oh, you don't have any of the game consoles either?
None. Okay. I don't like games in general, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's not your dorkdom. Turns out your dorkdom is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 2008.
Yes. Jessica Biel.
Oh, Jessica Biel. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Flashdance?
No. She's married to Justin Timberlake. She was in Seventh Heaven as the oldest daughter. What else? She was just in Candy on Hulu. She was Candy, the titular character. This is a remake of the classic 1974 Texas Chainsaw. And again, I saw this when I was like a young teen, and it definitely imprinted. It is scary.
Okay.
But it was either directed or produced by Michael Bay.
Oh,
like
weird.
Transformers.
Yeah,
you know?
The big blow up guy.
Yes. So him doing horror is very kind of much the same. It's glistening bodies, lights streaming through, like just like epic, like shots, like, you know, tracking them across cornfields and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was great. And like, there's,
it's
like,
gotta
again,
be the shiniest horror movie in the world.
You need sunglasses. Jessica Biel's chest plate is like just going off the whole time.
Yeah. So there's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Must be about, I'm going to assume, someone with a chainsaw.
Yes. And it's kind of based on the true story of Ed Gein.
From Wisconsin, who I know about him because I'm from Wisconsin, and they were all Ed Gein jokes when I was a kid.
Stop.
Yes.
Do you remember any of them?
I sadly do not, but they were all about making somebody into a couch or a lampshade.
Yep. Yep.
It was a lot of that.
Yeah. This one, I think they combined a couple things because it's Ed Gein. And then there was also like a bunch of grave robbings in Texas.
Okay.
And I think they kind of fused stories together.
Sure.
But it's like these teens passing through town. They pick up a girl hitchhiker. This is horrifying. She is like in a state of like shock. And she starts like freaking out because I guess they're driving towards where she just came from. And she's like, no, I can't go back. She takes a gun out of her like vagina. We believe, because it's like between her legs and bloody and like her hand. And she kills herself. And so they pull over. They call the local sheriff.
Have you seen the original one?
Yeah, but like a long
was
time ago.
Was that how that one started as well?
I don't think so.
That seems super dark for 1974. Holy
well, and
smokes.
I will say, it's like it is dark, but like it's kind of all just like it's veiled gore. It's like you don't see everything. But they call the sheriff to come get the body. Yeah. And he's bad.
Oh, he's part bad.
He's part of the family that protects the chainsaw guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so then it just is like bad to worse. Like he takes their keys. He like handcuffs one of them. Like they're all separated. It's turning night and like they have to like get out alive. And there's a final girl.
Oh, there you go. And is there a B plot? What do we learn? Don't pick up hitchhikers. What happened?
That's interesting. So at the beginning of this one, they have a bunch of marijuana.
Okay.
And he plans to sell it to like start a new life with the final girl.
Okay.
And he gets it's drugs, I think.
Okay.
He gets rid of this pinata full of marijuana. But when the cop pulls them over, he finds a roach clip with a joint this big. And he's like, is this fucking marijuana? Get down on the. And so like this. They had a bunch of it. This little bit of weed starts this chain reaction of like bad stuff.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Where were they driving? They're just passing through town?
they were, I think, leaving Mexico with like a bunch of drugs.
Oh,
like
okay.
A pinata full of weed. And it's the 70s, so it's kind of like weed, you know. And
was the 2008 one set in the 70s?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Right. Period piece. Okay.
I love a period piece. Like,
all right.
Give me the 70s all day.
Well, you know, people, there's a glorification of the 70s. I was there. It was a little untidy.
Really?
So, yeah, it wasn't great. It was a lot dirtier. It was a lot. there was a lot of air pollution. There was a lot Yeah, the Lake Michigan had dead alewives on the beach. Yeah. Yeah. I swear to God, the EPA did some good work.
Okay, so, wait. Say three nice things about the 70s.
Well, I will say that the whitewashing of it, the nostalgia glasses, mm-hmm. have found all the nice things about it. Sort of music, the
free love.
It's groovy, free love, pre-AIDS, right?
Pre-AIDS, that's my thing.
That's
it's like
it.
Guys being experimental. No consequences.
No consequences. Not a consequence to be seen. Maybe a ripped anal gland. And then you wait for that to heal. So, but the TMI. And the clothes were pretty groovy. And people dressed like dragonflies. I remember I had a music teacher. I'll tell you this. Public education in the 70s was great. I had music classes in grade school. We used to sing. And I cried Puff the Magic Dragon. We learned Puff the Magic Dragon. I sobbed through it while I belted it out. And our music teacher was literally dressed in like several layers of gauze.
Yes.
She looked like a dragonfly.
Yes.
It was amazing. She was, I wish I could remember her name.
Oh.
Yeah. So those were some good things about the 70s. There's good things about every decade, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There were only about 4 billion people on the planet. That's a good thing.
Damn.
I know it. So what about Cabin in the Woods?
Okay. We're back to things Jackie might like.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, is that Joss Whedon?
Yes.
Okay.
So we have your iconic archetypes. We have like the hot slutty blonde girl, the kind of like mousy cute girl
who
final
takes
girl.
Her glasses off.
Yes. And you're like, oh, she's not a troll. You have the black guy, the skinny stoner nerd,
okay,
and the jock.
Okay.
And
Scooby-Doo.
Yes. So they all go. They like, it's so classic. Like they drive to the town, they go to the small gas station and the guy's like, you're going to the old blah, blah cabin. You shouldn't go there. And they're like, yeah, okay. Fuck you, old man. So they go there and it's like set. It's so, everything's so on the nose horror movie wise. What we don't know right away is that there's surveillance everywhere. And there's like a whole underground office setting of people orchestrating what's about to happen next. So there's like, if she touches like the bear head, I'm getting off. If she touches the bear head, it'll start like this like zombie bear story. And like, they'll be hunted by zombie bears. If she opens this music box, it'll be like this like ballerina who died
Choose
in the cabin.
Choose your own adventure kind of?
Yes. But they don't know what they're stumbling into. So they... You're watching this all unfold, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh
Weird
no, oh my God, oh my God.
Squid Games kind of.
Yes.
There's some sort of puppet master kind of thing happening.
Yep.
With a team to run the escape room, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's very meta. It's very funny. It's very dark. It's nerdy horror. It's like.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's for like. Genre nerds, because they have like, again, spoiler, towards the end some of the young people figure out that there's like that office setting and they wind up unleashing all of the stories. So so there's like a torso dragging itself, there's like alligators, you know, with like demon eyes. There's everything.
I accidentally saw Basket Case. Part of Basket Case. Have you ever seen Basket Case?
I can picture the box. Isn't it like a picnic basket, like opening?
Well, it's like a wicker basket. It's one of the reasons I think I hate wicker. Anyway, it was also in college. I walked in, VHS, someone was watching it, and it's about Siamese twins that are born, and one is, they're separated at birth. One of them is just a torso, and the other one is a person, a whole person that has a whole body. And the torso is kept in a basket, and he crawls and kills people, finally, in his teens. Yeah.
I'm going to watch this immediately.
It couldn't be dumber. And I remember just watching like 5 or 10 minutes of it and going, yeah, I'm going to go drink. And this can't possibly be something that's for me. But Cabin in the Woods, did that have a B plot? What was their, did they have jobs? Were they college kids? Were they?
They were college kids. Oh, you know who? I'm pretty sure Thor.
Hemsworth?
Hemsworth. I'm sure I think he's the jock.
Okay.
Chris Hemsworth. Yep. So I'm trying to think of what
is that. Is this in between high school and college? Is this their last hurrah? Why have they
this
come?
This is college. I think it's like spring break.
Okay.
But they're like going to go to their, my friend found this cool cabin. It's only, you know, it's cheap and it's only 3 hours outside of town or whatever.
Right, right.
And they like go. And it's like one of those things where they do break all the rules, but like it's kind of like a nod to horror.
Right, right. So it's not specific.
Yeah.
Even
but, you
though
know,
Joss
Final Whedon
Girls,
would,
yeah.
Joss Whedon would probably slap me if he heard me like trying to find a point to the movie. But I'm also just stupid enough that I don't often see the point in things. I just like enjoy it or I don't.
Oh,
you know?
I love it when the pictures move. It's like it's a moving picture. That's why I've come to see it.
I'm like,
it's magic.
Yes. And,
right. I like so Cabin in the Woods. So
yeah.
And there's a final girl in that one too.
Yeah, there's a final girl, and I mean, spoiler, it's the nerdy girl who of course makes it towards the end. And the stoner guy does as well. It's like it's so weird because we find out, again, spoiler alert, if you were dying to see Cabin in the Woods and you haven't in the past 9 years.
Right.
To skip forward 20 seconds. But they find out that like each archetype has to be sacrificed in like this ancient sort of way in order to keep like the gods happy. So like when they refuse to sacrifice themselves, the gods kind of like tear through the earth at the end and like, they're going to like destroy everything. Yeah. And she says something like, it's one of those weird things. Like they figure this out, the girl and the nerdy guy, and they decide not to save the world. They're just like, no, fuck it. Maybe it's time for it to start over. And then they
drive off because they live.
They're like in a crumbling setting. Like this, everything's crumbling. They've been really fucked up. Like they just got stabbed a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And I think they smoke a joint and like let the thing cave in on them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I
Weird.
Don't know what that, I know. I don't know.
The message what, there is just like, well, yeah, it feels very Philip K. Dick. Just sort of he wrote Minority Report, Paycheck, Blade Runner. Yeah, he wrote 1,000 amazing stories that are almost impossible for this reader to read.
Okay.
They make amazing movies. And all the movies, like literally so many movies.
That's wild. The guy who wrote Blade Runner and Minority Report are the same person.
And Paycheck, which had Ben Affleck in it. So he wrote Total Recall.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He wrote, it's the movies that he's written are, let's see.
So he's not renting. He owns a home.
Oh, that guy's dead. He died here's the good news is one of his last requests to his wife was to keep up the rights. He said, 20 years from now, they're going to make movies out of all of my stuff. So make sure you still own the rights. And then he died. He was a big LSD guy, as you can totally imagine.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. And but he was out of his gourd. And The Man in the High Castle. Did you ever see that on Amazon?
He wrote. I'm aware of it.
He wrote that. He was. Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. He has written an amazing number of stories that are, I wish I could just sort of.
Why can't I finish my 30-minute pilot, Jackie?
right. It's, there's an article on Screen Rant called Every Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Adaptation from Worst to Best or something. So Imposter, which I never saw, 2001, 2007 Next. Ben Affleck was so terrible in Paycheck, but I still loved it. Screamers. Paycheck was in, wait, when was that? 2003. It was Total Recall, The Adjustment Bureau, A Scanner.
Total Recall got remade too.
Yes.
Total Recall, it was made in like the 80s and like the 2010s.
Right. And they cannot stop screwing with Blade Runner. So,
oh, you didn't like the new one?
I didn't mind it. Here's my thing is it's sort of like, I don't have a horse in that race, so sure. I can watch it and not
like be offended.
Be offended. Sort of like G.I. Joe. A lot of people loved, like grew up with G.I. Joe. When I see the G.I. Joe movies, which I think are Bay movies, like that guy Bay, I'm like, oh, blow up, run fast. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. I had more of a problem with the Jack Reacher movies, which Tom Cruise bought. And then that guy made that TV show
with
Alan Rickman?
From The Office. Oh my God.
Alan Rickman? Not Richman. Because Alan Rickman died. But okay. But the guy in the Jack Reacher TV show.
Okay.
Which is on
Prime, I think.
It's on Prime, and it is with,
I thought it was John Krasinski for some reason.
No.
Did he do one?
No, he's gonna be in the new Fantastic Four though.
As Mr. Stretch or whatever.
Right, Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic.
And Alan Richson, R-I-T-C-H-S-O-N. And he actually looks like the guy in the books. Like when you read it, you're like, that guy who's a gorilla, but a human being. Like he looks like he's about 6'7". And he physically, he was on like one of those daytime TV shows where he actually broke zip ties for real. He was like, yeah, I could do that. And he did it. And tink. So,
is he blonde?
He is blonde. And he is genuinely one of, like, if you enjoy a giant, I mean, it would be hard to not enjoy a giant man like that and not go to yourself, well, that I would take part in that if that was interested in any part of this, but he is not.
And, everyone can make use of a man that size. Like even if it's like to put up drywall for an hour, like
right to reach
useful.
Something up high.
Yes.
That is a useful gentleman is what I am. You hard agree. I said hard.
Hard.
Hey, there's just enough time for the Midsommar. What is that?
So that's Ari Aster's second feature. Okay. He did Hereditary. Did you catch that? Well, you didn't watch it, but Toni Collette leads that one.
Okay.
And it's very like cult, possession, family horror.
Okay.
That's Hereditary. And then Midsommar is, the big thing with Midsommar is it's almost entirely during the daytime. So it's like revolutionary kind of in that way.
Yeah, because it's usually the dark.
Yes, but this is like bright. It's like a young college girl loses her mom, dad, and sister to the sister's mental illness in the beginning of the film. So they're dead. She goes with her boyfriend on his spring break to research this small community, which is like kind of like stuck in time, almost like Amish, but make it Swedish.
Do you think that there's an anti-small town vibe with all... They're like, stay in the city.
Well, this is interesting because I'm beginning... You know like Sweet Home Alabama?
Yeah.
Where the like this girl got caught up in the big city and now she's like she's got to get back to her roots and like they make the big city people look crazy. I'm like
every Hallmark movie is move out to where they grow Christmas trees
and find yourself
right, but all horror movies seem to be don't go into the the rural areas. That's where the idiots are being kept. It seems like a very much a different kind of sale.
It is a Swapski. Yeah. So she goes with him to this, like, again, like Swedish Amish place.
Sure.
And it's with like a group and they start kind of getting picked off and she knows there's going to be like a May. Oh my God. What's it called? May Queen. May.
Right. Like a May Day festival.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's all leading up to this. And basically they get sacrificed. The village sacrifices six, you know, outsiders every year.
Sure.
And
that's what keeps them young or whatever.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, it's like just like it's in their books. It's in their like religion. It's all like very sacrifice ritualistic. And that main girl is Florence Pugh.
Oh, I don't feel for it because she's in Black Widow.
She was the best part of Black Widow.
The best part of Black Widow. And I'll tell you something. Scarlett Johansson was great in Black Widow.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Florence Pugh was better.
Yeah.
And really stuck the landing on that thing. And so was Hellboy. So was like Red Guardian. The guy who played Red Guardian was great,
too. Is he Stranger Things?
Yeah, Stranger Things guy.
Do you like Stranger Things?
I've never seen Stranger Things. I know it's amazing, I'm told. I'm
it's
busy watching some deep cuts on BritBox. I'm over here being your favorite aunt. I'm surprised I'm not watching all of the spinoffs of NCIS. I'm as surprised as anyone. And
but Florence Pugh, she's
in Midsommar.
Incredible.
Okay.
Yes, she's the main girl. She's the final girl.
Is she from the United States?
I don't know.
Her you do not know her nationality.
No, that's a great question.
Okay. All right.
I want to say she is. I'm gonna have an aneurysm if I don't know.
Here's my last question.
Oh, okay.
Is that because we're almost at an hour.
Yes.
And it is is those Key and Peele and
oh, Jordan Peele?
Yeah.
So Get Out, iconic. Us
right.
was, I'm very glad Us was his second film because I think it was a lot to ask of mainstream audiences.
Okay.
And then I could not be more excited for Nope, which is.
That's coming out.
July 22nd. It looks like a Alien
okay.
movie.
And yeah. Florence Pugh is British.
Oh, shit.
There you go.
Shit.
So now we know. But
what does she, Black Widow, Little Women, Midsommar, she's truly versatile.
And crushing it.
Yes.
So, and she was also in Hawkeye, the TV show.
As
the White Widow. Yeah, she comes in as the White Widow in the new, she's from the Black Widow program, but in the comic book, she was called the White Widow because she always wore white.
Did she die at the end of Black Widow?
No. Scarlett Johansson died at the end of Endgame. Spoiler alert. This thing is spoilery as all hell. And but here's the thing. Remember also, and granted, I think Scarlett Johansson is done, especially since she had to sue Disney to get money. Because they're like, oh, we're sorry, we ran out of money. No, you didn't.
You didn't,
anyway,
actually.
So, but they throw, remember, she falls.
Yes.
With the Red Skull, with the Soul Stone, much like Gamora.
Yeah.
Gamora? No, Gamora's the turtle that flies. Gamora is the green sword fighting Guardians of the Galaxy. but neither one of their bodies are found.
Okay. Okay, great.
Much like Killmonger, everybody can come back. And though I think Scarlett Johansson has bought land, so I think she's fine. But I wish that they had made like three Black Widow
Black
movies.
Black Widows, yes.
That Black Widow movie, I like it better than Captain Marvel, and I loved Captain Marvel, but I like it better than Captain Marvel because I had more invested in the Black Widow character because of the 20 movies she had done previously with them, or the six or whatever.
And Rachel Weisz.
Ah, Rachel Weisz, Florence Pugh, Scarlett Johansson, the scene in the plane, I've talked about it 1,000 times. It, supposedly on the script, the Red Guardian makes that crack about their periods, about them being on the rag, and Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh, the actresses, go, no way that's the end of that conversation.
Uh-uh.
And then they are like, nope, the Black Widow program, they rip out your uterus. So, because that is what they do in the Black Widow program, because it interferes with your, because you can't have kids. Though in the comic book, the Black Widow just had a baby. How did it happen? Well, it's a comic book. So anything can happen in a comic book. So
yeah, she has an artificial uterus put in, you know?
Right. Why wouldn't she? It's they just take DNA. They scrape DNA from him and her, put it together. Baby.
Yes.
Anyway, so Zach, Noe, Towers, you've been on the Dork Forest now. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. I'm curious if I, did I live up to dorkdom expectations?
God. Completely. The thing is these are movies no one's ever talked about. And I've had several episodes about horror.
Oh, great.
And you had different, it's always nice to have people talk about the same dorkdoms because it's always a different angle. You're like, it doesn't, people like the same things for different reasons. And that is a glorious thing about the Dork Forest is we could, there could be 100 episodes. I think last year I did, I think no less than 4, maybe 6 episodes about Star Trek, but they were all different parts of Star Trek that people love. Different shows, different whatever. Yeah. And it was a delight. So this has been a delight. Everyone, find Zach Noe Towers, ZachNoeTowers. And it's at Zach Zoe Towers on everything but TikTok, which is Zach Towers, right?
Venmo.
Oh, Venmo.
Is,
I'm Venmo with Zach Towers. And you don't need to know that. I need to know that so that I can give you coffee money for doing the show.
I love it.
But
love
everyone else, if they do, if you have an interest in Venmoing Zach Towers, it's Zach-Towers. Anyway, you've done the Lord's work by being on the Dork Forest. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
Liz Winstead here, co-creator of The Daily Show and co-host of the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod. Well, the vaginal crossing guards on the Supreme Court have destroyed Roe v. Wade. Good news, my nonprofit Abortion Access Front can help. On July 17th, we're hosting an activist training day called Operation Save Abortion. We're gathering experts from every area in the field of abortion justice and live streaming a series of conversations that break down the many opportunities available to you to protect access to all things reproductive care. Helping patients with travel needs, lobbying politicians, and getting into good trouble out in these streets are just a few examples that these amazing panels are going to break down and, bonus, connect you to the organizations in your area doing this work. So gather your friends for a watch party, then commit to becoming a defender of abortion access. I'll be there, and so should you. Operation Save Abortion, July 17th. For all the info and to register, hit up OperationSaveAbortion.com.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?